If you took out a second mortgage, you might want to grab a snorkel.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California and is supported by Reputation.com, protecting online privacy by removing your personal data from the internet and stopping unwanted mail. Reputation.com.
Good morning from APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Jeremy Hobson. 38% of homeowners who took out second mortgages on their houses are now underwater on their loans. In other words, the value of the mortgages is higher than the value of the house. Compare that 38% with 18%, which is the figure for homeowners who are underwater and only have one mortgage. The statistics come this morning from CoreLogic, a real estate data company, and Mark Fleming is CoreLogic's chief economist. He joins us now. Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, why do you think there are so many more second mortgages that have gone bad than primary mortgages?
Well, when borrowers use second mortgages to extract equity out of their homes, they put themselves at more risk by being more levered on their homes when house prices decline. So the incidence of negative equity or being underwater in your home is higher if you'd extracted money through the form of home equity loans.
And what are the consequences for the people who are underwater?
That's a very good question. Mostly it reduces your mobility or your ability to move. Obviously, you can't refinance or sell your house if you run into a spot of trouble with your ability to pay. So it puts you at increased risk of foreclosure and doesn't allow you to move optionally if you wanted to move into a new house or change jobs and move locations.
And I did see on the bright side, according to your data, that the overall percentage of people who are underwater on their mortgages has dropped slightly from 23% late last year to 22.7% in the beginning of this year. You think that's good news?
Yes, I do. I think any small decline at this point is good, an indication that hopefully we've weathered the worst of the storm and things will begin to get better. So I am happy to see that it's not continuing to rise, at least.
Mark Fleming, chief economist at CoreLogic, thanks so much for your time this morning.
Thank you very much.
Well, from the troubled housing market to the troubling oil market, the price of a barrel of crude is trading just below $100 in New York this morning. High oil prices have made gas more expensive, so consumers have less money to spend on other things. Well, tomorrow, the Organization of Petroleum Exporting Countries, or OPEC, is meeting to consider an urgent request to crank up production so prices can come down. But our Washington Bureau Chief John Dimsdale says, don't get your hopes up.
Oil is dear for a whole bunch of reasons. Civil war in Libya, demand from booming emerging markets, and a weak dollar. Rushir Kadakia at Cambridge Energy Resource Associates says there's not much oil exporters can do about it.
We are driving the oil market right now on a lot of components that OPEC is not able to control.
Still, oil importers say if OPEC would raise its production targets, prices would fall, and that would help lagging economies like the U.S. and Europe recover. Oil analyst Peter Butel at Cameron Hanover says only Saudi Arabia has any excess capacity right now.
The Saudis want to go ahead and have a higher quota because that will officially give them a higher proportion of the market share. The Iranians are dead set against it because they can't increase the amount that they produce.
But Butel says OPEC is already exceeding its production quotas. Raising them would just make it official and wouldn't bring oil prices down. In Washington, I'm John Dimsdale for Marketplace.
And let's do the numbers. Stocks are mostly higher in overseas trading this morning, up about 0.2% right now in London. NBC Universal is buying the rest of the Universal Orlando theme parks from the private equity firm Blackstone for $1 billion. Blackstone has owned a 50% stake in Universal Studios and Islands of Adventure for the last 11 years. On Wall Street yesterday, the Dow fell 61 points to close at 12,089.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Allianz, providing investment, insurance, and retirement solutions through its affiliated companies in the U.S. since 1896. AllianzUSA.com. By Manta, connecting millions of small business owners with new customers every day. On the web at Manta.com. And by LendingTree, providing up to 4 loan offers from a network of lenders. Learn more at LendingTree.com or 1-800-555-8733.
Well, after a string of recent cyber attacks on the likes of Sony and Google, there's some corporate fallout this morning. A data storage company called EMC is offering to replace millions of electronic keys known as secure IDs after a breach at defense contractor Lockheed Martin last month. Turns out those secure IDs weren't so secure after all. Marketplace's Amy Scott joins us live with more on this story. Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, Amy, I don't use one of these secure IDs, but I've seen them. What are they exactly?
Well, they're mostly used by millions of government and corporate workers to log onto their computers or software. And it can be a smart card or a key fob like you might use to unlock your car. And they have a little screen that flashes a series of numbers that you enter as a way of proving you are who you say you are.
So they're supposed to be really secure. What went wrong here?
Well, all we know is that in March, data was stolen from the division of EMC that makes the keys, RSA Security, and that was used to hack into the network at Lockheed Martin last month. RSA called it a very sophisticated attack. I spoke earlier with Roger Kay of Endpoint Technologies Associates, a market research firm, and he says what's different about this breach than some of the others we've been seeing lately is that it's a security company.
What we do know about this, which is really bad news, is that people who are in the security business have been unable to keep their system from a breach, which says if they're not safe, then who is?
And what's also scary is that the hackers appear to be targeting defense contractors. Lockheed says it stopped the attack, but, it may not be the only company caught up in this.
Marketplace's Amy Scott. Thanks, Amy.
You're welcome.
And finally, to the UK, where a guy named Mark Wilkinson took out his new boat, Titanic II, for its maiden voyage the other day. And wouldn't you know it, the boat sank. Wilkinson made it out okay, though he says he's a little annoyed with all the people asking him if he hit an iceberg. One eyewitness to the sinking says Titanic II was so small an ice cube could have sunk it. In Los Angeles, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. And this is APM, American Public Media.
Chinese students are about to take the annual test that determines what college they'll attend, what career they'll choose, and how much they'll get paid. But does this kind of testing prepare them for a 21st century economy?
The education system and its inability to train analytical students is the biggest crisis facing China today.
I'm Tess Viglin, China's educational drudgery, next time on Marketplace from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.